picnic. So looking forward to that for those two reasons. Amen. Josiah. He was the one. And when we read about Josiah being the one, I hope it inspires you and me to be the one. The one who is faithful to God, the one who turns back to God, the one who influences others to look to God. How old was he when he came to the throne? Did you catch that from Christopher's reading? Or Christian's reading? I don't know why I keep calling him Christopher. I think it's because of Christopher Robin in Winnie the Pooh. But I don't know, he might not appreciate that. But anyway, for some reason. But Christian read this for us, and he was how old? 8 years old when he comes to the throne. To me, there's providence involved in that, because thrones in those days were fought over, and for a young man of 8 years of age to come to the throne, well, we know he did not do that on his own power. But he comes to the throne, and it says in verse 3, in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, well, he sends him there to take care of the financing that's going on. And so he goes up to the temple. And it says in verse 8, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to me an odd thing for the high priest to say to anybody, hey, I found the book of the law. Well, wait a minute. Don't you already have the book of the law? You're serving as the high priest. Don't you know the law? Aren't you very familiar with the law? When Josiah comes to the throne, he's coming to the throne after 57 years of evil. Not his own evil, but the evil of the people of Judah. A man by the name of Manasseh had sat on the throne for 55 years, and then another evil king after him for 2 years. So 57 years of evil, idolatry, immorality, 57 years. If you were to think about that and put it in today's terms, that would take us today here in 2024 back to 1967. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you weren't even here in 1967. But since 1967, there would have been an evil, idolatrous, immoral king sitting on the throne, killing anybody who got in his way. That would have been the culture and the setup for where we are today. And that's the way it was in Josiah's day. During those days of evil, 57 years of evil, apparently the law of God had been completely forgotten, put upon a shelf somewhere, and nobody was following that law. So this is what happens when that law is brought to the king. Shaphan the scribe, verse 9, came to the king and brought back word to the king, saying, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. This is Josiah. By the way, did you catch that it's now in the 18th year of his reign? He came to the throne at 8 years old. It's in the 18th year, so how old would he be now? Do the math. I'm asking you to do the math because I'm no good at math. 36, right? He's now 36 years old. 18 and 8, oh, 26. I've even got it written down. Yeah, some guys ought to be preachers and not accountants. The Lord gives us differing gifts, and I'm grateful that He does. So he's 26 now. 26. And the book of the law of God is brought into his presence and it's read. Verse 10 says, Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, what did he do? He tore his clothes. Why did he tear his clothes? Because that's how you showed grief in that day. He's 26 years old, young man, and he hears the words of the law for the first time. And he realizes this is not what we've been doing. And it broke his heart and he tore his clothes. And look what he does. Verse 12. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that's been found, for the great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us. Because our fathers have not listened to the words of the book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Young guy. King. He has every pleasure you could imagine at his disposal with his power, with his wealth, with his position. And yet he has a mind towards God in a culture that had forgotten God. Didn't even keep the book of the law of God. A culture that was idolatrous and immoral and violent. He was the standout. And I want to encourage myself with this lesson, this history of Josiah. He is inspirational to me, and I hope he's inspirational to you, to be the standout. When he finds out what God has said, he laments, he mourns, to the point where he tears his clothes. And the first thing he thinks to do after that is to send emissaries to ask of God, what are you going to do about this? We've not kept your law. What will be your response? And so when God is asked about this circumstance, look at verse 16. We'll see his answer. God says, behold, I will bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. And so they brought back word to the king. Now it's an interesting thing what God says. First of all, that God singles Josiah out. Why does he single Josiah out? Well, he told us, when you heard the words of my will and my law, you wept because it wasn't being kept. You tore your clothes. You humbled your heart. And so God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm obligated. He's God. He's got to punish evil. But he says, I'm not going to bring these curses on the land until I gather you first to your fathers. And it's interesting what he says here. I'm going to bring you to your grave in peace. Now hold on a minute. If you read a little farther, how does Josiah eventually die? He goes out in battle and he's shot with an arrow. No. Didn't God say, I'm going to bring you to your grave in peace? Yes, he did. Do you think he did? I believe he did. Whether you die in war, whether you die in a hospital bed, whether you lay down and as they say, you go to bed and you wake up dead. No matter how it happens, God is the one who guarantees that it can happen to you in peace. And I think that's what he did for Josiah. When he breathed his last, he knew he was right with God. That's what I believe God is talking about here. I'm going to bring you to your grave in peace. And why would he do that? Well, you know, we've already read it. No matter what the rest of the world was doing, Josiah looked to God. Josiah honored God. Josiah wanted to do the right thing before God. And it's interesting, if you go to Jeremiah, the first chapter, we've read here from 2 Kings 22, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, this is what we read. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. The 13th year of Josiah's reign. Okay, help me out. How old would Josiah have been when Jeremiah started his work if Jeremiah started in the 13th year of his reign? Well, that would be 8 plus 13. There we go, 21. Oh, you guys are good. That's right, isn't it? 21. So, think about it. Jeremiah comes to the throne when he's 8 years old. When he's 21, Jeremiah starts his work in and among the people of Judah. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, the book of the law is found. It's like things are coming together. You can sort of see the pieces of the puzzle being brought to where they are now starting to fit. And God brings the Babylonians against Judah. You remember the year, those of you in the Daniel class, what year did Babylon first come to Judah? 606, 2 years after Josiah is gone, God brings Babylon on Judah and fulfills his promise. He keeps his promise to Josiah to bring him to his grave in peace. But he also keeps his promise to bring judgment on the people of Judah for their immorality and their idolatry and their violence. So Babylon comes. But when Babylon comes, what do? They take some of the best young men and they deport them to Babylon to put into service for the king. Who's the one who's the standout there? Well, that's Daniel. Daniel probably grew up all during the reign of Josiah. He was a young man. Certainly he wasn't born before Josiah took the throne. How influential had Josiah's character and Josiah's reforms in Judah been on Daniel? How influential was, text doesn't say. How influential perhaps were the works and the writings of Jeremiah on the mind and heart of Daniel? Well, if you go to Daniel chapter 1, studying Daniel on Sunday morning, those in that class will probably say, oh yeah, we took a look at this. Daniel is brought to Babylon, young man. Who else is brought to Babylon along with Daniel, by the way? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 3 other standout men. And it says, verse 5, Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of, or among the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names were changed. And it says in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now hold on a minute. How does Daniel know about defilement unless he knows the law? How did he know the law? Did he study the law? Did somebody teach him the law? Somewhere along the way, Daniel was taught the truth about the law. And now, you might think he would look at the situation and say, well, God has abandoned us. I'm off in a foreign country, in a foreign culture, and this king is going to make me eat the stuff from his table. By the way, if it comes from the king's table, what is it in the land? It's the best. It's the best the king of Babylon has to offer, and he wants it for these boys. And they say, we don't want to defile ourselves. Now, they didn't say it in an ugly fashion. They weren't hateful about it. They weren't self-righteous. The text makes it look like Daniel appeals. He makes an appeal. Could we possibly have something else? And the official over all this says, no, man, if I change this, I might lose my head. So Daniel goes to the next guy down. He says, hey, let me make a deal with you. You can read this in the text. Try us out for 10 days. For 10 days, just let us eat vegetables and have water to drink. Now, is Daniel a vegan? Why is he wanting to do this? The only reason he wants to do this is because he does not want to defile himself. He's a standout young man. I think the other three are as well. But Josiah has been a standout. He was the one. Now Daniel seems to be the one. And I know, yes, I know there are three others. But in his circumstance, he's the one who went and said, hey, how about if we try this? And so that guy said, well, yeah, we'll try that for 10 days. And after 10 days, he found out, oh, you guys are in better shape than the rest of them. Keep doing that. I'll let you keep eating vegetables and water. Daniel was committed. Josiah was committed. And the question comes to you and me, reading about these young men, are we committed? I believe you are. You're here. But this is a nice circumstance, isn't it? You knew when you left the house, you were coming to a place you weren't going to get rained on. Probably never even thought about that, just a foregone conclusion. You probably knew there would either be heat or air conditioning in here, regardless of whether it was hot or cold outside, or based on whether it was hot or cold outside. Be a place to park. You could come in your car. Somebody would greet you at the door. There'd be smiling people. There'd be handshake. There'd be friendliness and openness and warmth. All that good stuff. We would sing. We would pray. That's what you knew to look forward to coming here. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. You don't know. But what if you and I leave this place and sometime tomorrow or this week, we face a circumstance that is difficult, and you find yourself perhaps the only one in a crowd of people who's now talking about something or going in a direction that is against the will of God. What will you do? What will you say? How will you react? I look at Josiah and I think, I want to be like Josiah. I look at Daniel and I think, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be the one. I want to be the standout. I want to be the one who makes a difference for God, who stands up for God, regardless of the consequences, regardless of what might happen to me. That's the guy I want to be. That's the young lady I want you young ladies to be. That's the old codger I want you old codgers to be. Yeah, I count myself in that group too. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, look to the people that God has shown us. Are like shining lights along the way. Josiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You remember those guys? Bow down and worship this image or get thrown into a fiery furnace? No, we're not going to do that. Even if we die, we're not going to do that. Because they had a mind towards God. And that's what we need, is a mind towards God. Well, let's wrap this lesson up with 4 points of how to be someone with a mind towards God. And these, we're going to go to the Gospel of John. Start in John chapter 8. How to have a mind towards God. What made a difference with Josiah? Initially, he was a good king. But when he found the Word of God, that's what he used to align himself. And so that's the first point that Jesus gives us in John chapter 8, verse 31. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31. How to be a standout. How to be the one. Jesus says to those Jews who had believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. You want to be a standout? You want your life to stand out. You want your example to stand out. Continue in the word of Jesus Christ. That's what Josiah practiced. He heard that word and he aligned himself and he aligned the entire nation with the word of God. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to do. Second point, sanctify yourselves through the word of God. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to this Father. And in this prayer, he says, John chapter 17, verse 17, speaking in this particular context of the apostles, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. Here Jesus is talking about that word setting us apart. That's what it means to be sanctified, to be set apart. Let your thoughts be changed from the thoughts of the world. Let your practices be changed from the practices of the world. Be a standout. Be the one among many who will allow yourself to be changed so much by the word of God that you become sanctified unto him. Number three, be prepared for testing. If you back up to the 16th chapter, you probably won't even have to turn the page. Jesus says this in John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Well, what's he been speaking to them? He's been telling them. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He's going to raise on the third day. They didn't get it. They didn't catch it. They weren't prepared for it as we might think they ought to be prepared, but he's telling them this. I've spoken these things to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have, what are they going to have in the world? Trouble. You got any trouble? Just wait. If you don't, you're probably not paying attention. In the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Jesus says he has overcome the world. And through him, you and I overcome the world. So, keep yourselves in the word of God. Let that word sanctify you. And expect trouble. And when trouble comes, put your faith in the Lord. And the last and the final point we'll talk about is serve one another in the meantime. Back to chapter 13, the Lord's Supper was over. They'd gathered. Jesus presented to them with the Lord's Supper, gave them that memorial feast. And then what's he do after supper's over? Well, he gets a bowl of water, a dish of water, a container of water, some kind of container with water in it, and a towel. And he goes from disciple to disciple to disciple. And he does for them the custom of the day. He washes their feet. That hadn't happened when they got together. Normally servants would do that. But no servant washed their feet. And so Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, wraps a towel around himself and takes water and washes their feet. And then when he's done washing their feet, he says, do you know what I've done for you? And it's like, well, duh, you washed your feet. That's not the point. The point is, I have served you. And I want you to serve one another. That's what Jesus did, and that's why he did it. So that they would see, and now we can read it and see, our Lord wants us to serve as he served. Remember what he said about himself? I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus was the obvious standout, and he teaches us to do the same. Even before Jesus came in the flesh, somehow Josiah got that fire and he was a standout. Daniel got that fire from somewhere and he was a standout. Those other three boys got that fire and they were standouts. God wants you to be a standout, and the only way you can be a standout is with God. And these are four ways you can do it. We're going to bring this lesson to its conclusion. We're going to make an invitation. Because you might want to give yourself to the Lord this morning and be a standout for him. And if you've already done that and you need prayers for whatever reason, because the devil might be attacking you in your life or you're having some kind of difficulty, whatever the reason is, you want prayer, you want to be baptized into Christ, you need this congregation to respond to you. We're asking you to respond so we can know what we can do to help you.